Well, good morning, everybody. Happy July 27th, 2022. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And it's a pleasure to have you here today. We got a wonderful show planned for you with two superintendents, Dr. Henry Pettigrew and Dr. Kevin Roberts from East Cleveland City Schools and Big Spring School District in Pennsylvania, respectively. Guests of my third guest, Dr. Steve McCammon, my good friend, who is the president and CEO of the Schlechte Center and the executive director of the National Superintendents Roundtable, which is part of Schlechte Center. And that was a good marriage right there. It's just terrific. And we're going to talk about the Schlechte Center's new National Standard Bearer School District Network, okay, which is launching this fall. And Dr. Pettigrew and Dr. Roberts, their school district, is going to be part of this. We're going to find out what it's all about. We're going to do a second show tomorrow with two other superintendents. So it's going to be a nice couple of shows. Hold on one second. Let me clear my throat. Sorry. So, whoa, what happened there? Can you hear me? Testing. There you go. I'm back. Sorry about that. Okay. I moved away to cough and pulled the microphone out of the plug out of the microphone. Sorry about that. Okay. So at any rate, I'm Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's on the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. As I said, our magazine, Pre-K-12 Exit Equity and Access, is over there. Just click on the cover. You'll really enjoy the magazine. We're the only media that focuses on equity and access pre-K-12 exclusively. It's a darn good magazine. We're proud of it. It's an online journal at ace-ed.org. Our Excellence in Equity Awards is still going on. Just click on the awards icon, learn about that. You can even nominate your school district, yourself, products you work with, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Also, all of our podcasts are over there. Our work on teacher retention at teacher-retention.com, which Schlechte Center helps us with, okay, is also over there, as well as our Resource Center for Social and Emotional Learning, which we believe is a big part of equity, and that's over at the seltoday.org. Again, everything's linked at ace-ed.org. And let me bring on my three guests, if I might. Circling, I think we got them all. There we go. Good morning, Steve. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry. Good to hear your voice again. And I feel like I'm a co-host. I've been on so many times, and I enjoy it every time. So
you would be welcome as a real co-host any day you want. Okay, Steve's a great guy and a good friend, and Schlechte Center does good work. Dr. Pettigrew, can I call you Henry?
Yes, you can. Good morning. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning to you, my friend. Tell us, how are you doing today over in East Cleveland?
I'm doing East Cleveland, Ohio, doing very well. So happy to serve in this community. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, my gosh, it's my pleasure, and you're welcome here anytime. And Dr. Roberts, by the way, you're near Shippensburg State University. I went to Westchester, a good arrival. How you doing, Kevin?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for letting me be a part of the show. Excited to be here. And certainly, yeah, we're only about 10 or 11 miles from Shippensburg, so you know exactly where we are in Pennsylvania.
I do indeed. I grew up in Philly, and I know it well. And we were not that you and I were. We're friends, but the schools were certainly rivals, certainly in the good old days. Now all universities, Westchester State and Shippensburg State. And I was there when it was still, I'll give you my age, I was still there. I was there when it was Westchester State College. Okay, there you go. I'm over 2,000 years old, so there you have it. Did you go to any of the state schools, Kevin? Where'd you go? Since we're talking Pennsylvania.
I'm a transplant from New York State. I attended a state school in New York State.
Yeah, we do allow, once you go through customs, you are allowed to go over the border from coming to Pennsylvania. So that was a good addition to our state. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, and Henry, you're welcome. And Henry, before I ask you any questions about education, I must ask you how hard is it to say Cleveland Guardians as opposed to Cleveland Indians? Okay, how hard is that to do, Henry?
Listen, I'm a born and raised Cleveland boy. Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Guardians, we love all of it. So it is a little harder to say. It is. But we're getting used to it here in Cleveland.
It is. And I was in favor of naming the team the Cleveland Rocks, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, the Rocks, which I thought was a good name anyway. So they went the Guardians. That's okay. Very good. Okay, it's hard to do when you're a sports fan. Okay, Steve, tell us all about Schlechte Center. That's first of all. Then we're going to get a definition of the new National Standard Bearer School District Network. But first, tell us about Schlechte Center, of which you are the CEO.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, we are a 35-year-old nonprofit located in Louisville, Kentucky, and we are based upon the center is framed and based upon the works of Dr. Philip Schlechte, who was a native Ohioan. We do a lot of work in Ohio. He wrote a lot of books, and if you really follow a lot of the education authors and sociology authors, he was really several years ahead of the curve on writing about the power and necessity of engaging students and how could you go about creating heuristics and these things we call design qualities to tap into student motivation. And then he also wrote a great deal about systems change. He was a big Senge fan. He was he wrote an awful lot about the fact that if we don't really look at changing the system and building out the capacity for systems to support change, then why put all the effort into change if you don't truly have the capacity to make it happen? And I've been at the center now for going on 10 years, but I was, importantly, a Kevin or a Henry. Many years ago in the year 2001, I was a district leader working with the Schlechte Center as a client. And it became the work of our school district out in Fife, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And so to segue a little bit, the Schlechte Center works from the classroom to the boardroom, the boardroom to the classroom. We work with all role groups. And I learned about the Schlechte Center back in 2000 when my school district joined the original National Standard Bearer School District Network. It was a really powerful network of school districts that came together. And
I
so
didn't know this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it became my superintendency. And that school district, you've met Kevin Alfano. You've had Kevin on. That school district going to be one of the new members of this network. So they've been committed to this focus on engagement for almost 22 years.
You know, so, I just want to say it's interesting the way you said that because school districts – and our gentlemen guests can anybody can tell you this, they're systems, they are bureaucracies, okay? And they are publicly run bureaucracies. And that is not easy.
Yeah.
That's a very difficult type of organization to run, all right?
And
you guys know that better than anybody. And to implement systemic change is very difficult. When you're like Henry and Kevin, you're the CEO of probably the largest employer around there, but you are at the whim of the public. It is a public school, okay? It's tough, okay? And it's really interesting what you guys are going to do. And I didn't know this was National Standard Bearer School District Network rejuvenated. Congratulations. That's good. I'm glad you did that.
And Larry, you said a key phrase there about the bureaucracy and the system of schools, when people say, oh gosh, you know, do we have a school system or a system of schools? And we would say, you know, based upon our pursuit of becoming a learning organization, we would say it's a focus on making sure that you have a system that all the schools are a part of rather than a series of individual school districts out doing things in a more bureaucratic model. So the school district network we're talking about, we're looking at about, our goal was to have 5 or 10 school districts. Looks like we're going to launch with at least 10. So we're really happy about that.
Congrats.
Districts from, as you've heard, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Alabama, Washington State, really some districts from really all Texas, all over the country.
Great.
And the way we broke this network down, Larry, and I'll be quick because I really want you to hear from the superintendent. So I'll be very quick with my overview. Districts are going to have an opportunity to come in and really take a hard look in year one of what is the capacity of the organization to get where they want to go? Henry and Kevin will tell you they are two of the most gifted young superintendents that have a real clear vision of, we want our directional system to be focused on student engagement, staff engagement, and creating this system that can support that really hard effort. In other words, we're not asking teachers and principals to change because, hey, you know, people ought to always be about change. Kevin Roberts and Henry Pettigrew are saying, hey, folks, my role needs to change too. I need to be more of a moral and intellectual leader to get us there. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is, and I'm going to invite you to attend some of these, Larry. We have We have a, that first section that I talked about is on-site. Then we have network development, where we're going to have webinars of thought leaders, national speakers, and key superintendents who've done this work really successfully. We're going to have superintendent leadership team meetings where these two superintendents and their assistant superintendents and other key leaders come and learn together. And then the third part of the network is where we're going to bring people together in national conferences, school board conferences, principals academies, key leaders conferences, where the rarity where you have school board members, principals, superintendent, teacher leaders, all coming together in one location to really focus on designing engaging schools. And so this is year one of the network launching in the fall. And we hope that it's an ongoing multiple-year network is the way we're launching out. So we couldn't be more excited about it. We couldn't be more excited about the districts we're working with. And so that's my quick and dirty overview of what we're launching this fall.
And, Steve, that's great. Thank you. And how does school districts who are listening, how do they apply? Do they go over to SchlechteCenter.org and there's an icon or something? Yeah.
Well, we haven't even – here's the thing. Having this conversation with you is the first, I guess you'd call marketing, we've even done of this.
Oh, well, thank you.
We basically are launching the network with word of mouth and districts that we've done a little bit of work with who are interested. And so, yes, if we have certain capacity for being able to have X number of districts, but if a district says, hey, this really resonates with what I might want to look at, go to SchlechteCenter.org. And there's a place on there where you can reach out to us. I won't, you know, give our email address is dreadfully long. So I would just say go to SchlechteCenter.org reach out to us. We'd love to have – we've got room for a few more districts, and we'd sure love to meet some new folks.
That'd be great. And everybody hears that, SchlechteCenter.org. And it's the National Standard Bearer School District Network. I have this picture of superintendents like Kevin Roberts, and we have Kevin Alfano out in Washington, and Henry in East Cleveland. I have a picture of them with standard bearers wearing, like, I'm thinking Statue of Liberty, long flowing robes with a beacon that they're holding up as they move.
Can I take 30 seconds and tell you where Phil Schlechte came up with that original standard bearer network?
Please do. But I think it's very impressive.
If you've seen the movie Glory, which is one of my favorite movies,
you can 54th Massachusetts,
you know,
man.
The 54th Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, our work, the Schlechte Center work, as designed by our incredibly gifted designers, you've met some of them on one of your past shows.
Absolutely.
Have created work around these standards. So first of all, we are standards driven. We have these standards to say, here's this aspirational type of a school district. It's really challenging to get there, but it's a standard. But then he came in and said, if we really could reach these standards with most, not all school districts, we can truly save public education. However, he said, you know, it takes a courageous leader like Henry and Kevin to do that. And so he said, think of the movie Glory. And he said, remember, there's somebody carrying the standard, the flag. And in that movie, one of the critical scenes was Denzel Washington's character is told by the captain, if this man should fall, who will carry the standard forward? And so we're saying, what courageous districts do we have who will take that standard, be out there on the cutting edge of really difficult work, who will take on that challenge? And so this is a collection of districts that have that commitment to public education to carry that banner. So we think it works really well.
That's great, man, and it's going to work very well. They're going to work beautifully. The National Standard Bearer School District Network, which is launching now from the Schlechte Center, everybody, SchlechteCenter.org, and Dr. Roberts and Dr. Pettigrew are both running districts that are going to be involved with this, which is great. I'll start with Henry. Henry Bragg, tell us about the East Cleveland City Schools.
Well, I love to talk about East Cleveland City Schools. Prior to that, let me give you a little bit about the connection to the Schlechte Center, because it started before my time in East Cleveland. About 15 years ago, I was in a neighboring district, Maple Heights City Schools, as an administrator. It was the first time I got introduced to the work of Philip Schlechte. It lit me on fire. It showed me some things about students and student engagement. And ever since, I've been a fan of the work and have been embedded in the work ever since. So East Cleveland City Schools is East Cleveland is a city, 3.3 square miles. We have about 13,000 residents. Unfortunately, we're declining in residents. And then also in East Cleveland City Schools, we are the product of a state takeover. So the Ohio Department of Education took over East Cleveland City Schools due to three consecutive Fs on the state report card. A academic distress commission was formed. And they went out to find a state-appointed CEO, and they found me in a neighboring school district.
Congratulations, so they found the right guy.
Came in as a CEO, came in with the purpose. I was purposed to take over a district and to rip it apart and rip it to shreds. I chose to go opposite way. I really utilized the standard bearer network that we're going into and the principles that Steve just talked about, to talk about what about a superintendent as a moral and intellectual leader. My students are deep in poverty. We have a decline. I just told you 22% of our population has left in the last 10 years. So really it's a dire situation. And how do you go from that to become what our tagline now is the model urban school system? So what we're doing is we're taking the work of Philip Schlechte, we're taking the things that we're learning from the Schlechte Center, and we're changing our directional system. We were a district that failed. The state, by their measures, said that we no longer should be a district, and the state also took the Board of Education's powers. And when I came in, I had the power of the board and the superintendent, though I behaved like a traditional superintendent. So it's a fascinating story over the last few years of what East Cleveland has done. Now we're on the verge of being able – we submitted a plan to the state to resume local control, and by 2025 – we'll meet the measures that we've created, and we'll be able to give the district back to the local board and back to the local community. This is a story about equity. This is a story about access. And the Schlechte Center has been instrumental. One of the things that we use is the Images of School chart. It's on my table. It's in all of my production, all of my conversations. We were the system that was in East Cleveland. The students said it felt like a prison. The principal said, I have to get dressed like a warden. And these are metaphors that really are coming out of the Philip Schlechte Images of School chart. But we wanted to be a learning organization. We wanted to reframe and be more honorable to our community. The only way to do that is by making our students volunteers. Instead of telling them, you got to do this, you got to go there, sit here and get it, go down this row and stand in this line, they have to become volunteers and customers to the work. So now – under this teaching, we're now focused on working on the work. We're focused on looking at what's being presented in front of our students, not a series of worksheets, but things that will engage them and excite them. We measure levels of engagement in this work so that we can monitor our students. They are the most important commodity in our district. As they go, so go we. So we're really trying to do that in East Cleveland, using now this excitement of this new network to continue to help us. I said we want to be the model urban school district, and that's shocking coming from a place where we're the fourth poorest suburb in the United States. But we feel that by changing our mindset, changing our mindset and rallying our base, we're going to be able to do what many people thought was impossible. Again, we're coming from a district in East Cleveland that was taken over by the state, and now we're in a moment of redemption moving forward.
Now, you literally should put on those robes and carry that beacon. You're doing a great job, Henry, from that description. I got to tell you, the job you took is not easy, all right? But your point of making the student – people sometimes when things get so bad, the school district, the students and the teachers become enemies, okay, for some crazy thing happens. And the thing is, we're in this together, okay? And that's what it seems to me like you're doing. And you're making the students part of the learning experience, all right? And bringing the whole thing back and making them care where they can go. I think what you're doing is wonderful. I got to tell you, just without knowing that much other than what you said, I think it's just wonderful. And to take on something like that is really something. So put those flowing robes on, my friend, and keep up the good work. And, well, just really something. You know, I'll never forget one time. This is a kind of a stupid anecdote, just talk, but it reminds you of what you're doing. All right. One time I was waiting for a plane from Las Vegas to Albuquerque, and the plane was supposed to leave at 1:35, and it didn't get into 1:20, and it was Southwest. And the gate agent said, listen, folks, we're running very late, but if you all cooperate, we're going to get this plane out of here on time. And they were able to empty the plane and get everybody on board, and we left literally 2 minutes late. All right? And I never forgot that little experience that if you make the consumer part of the experience and respect them, they're going to jump and help you. And that's exactly what you're doing with the kids. And I just think that's great. And I have to ask you one other thing, Henry, about finding teachers, teacher retention, teacher recruitment. How's that going with you?
It's a struggle. Like every district in America right now, we're struggling to get teachers. But what we've been able to do, we're on YouTube. We're doing a really good marketing campaign. A district that, by all intents and purposes, has died in the public eye. We really have to do something to rebrand and re-message. So we're pushing a lot of content out now. We've done docuseries, reality shows to show the consumer, the students, and the parents what the real look of East Cleveland City Schools is. It's not what you may have heard or what you've Googled. That's really our biggest driver, is to focus on that customer service, focus on marketing to the customer. If you're selling a shirt in a store and people aren't buying that shirt, then you got to figure out why they're not buying the shirt. You may need to change the color. You may need to change the sizes. There are things you may need to do so that the customer will be more invited to the space. That's what we're doing.
Man, good man. We're going to talk further on this. This is really something. Okay, yeah. Kevin, can you top that? Kevin Roberts from Big Springs. Can you top that?
I don't know about topping, but I can speak to the beauty of the network, in that as you think about what Henry was just discussing and his leadership, and really, you know, being a pillar within the community to revive a lot of the great things that happen in Cleveland. That's the moral imperative that I have as a leader within Big Spring too. You know, as you think about them becoming a model urban school district, what we want to do is become the best rural school district in America. So Big Spring, we're a relatively rural school district. As I talked about before, we're about 30 minutes south of the state capital, Harrisburg, and we serve approximately 2,500 students K-12 in 5 campuses, and that sounds like your stereotypical American school system. What's unique about us is that we're 197 square miles. We serve students in 197, and we're nestled in Cumberland County, which in Pennsylvania is the fastest growing county from a population standpoint.
Oh, wow.
Our school district is the only school district in Cumberland County that's not growing. So our student enrollment has been relatively consistent for some time now, about 5 or 6 years. So we're a bit preserved from that growth, in that we don't have a lot of public utilities commonly found in the more residential areas. Despite that, what we have benefited from over the course of time has been a degree of trust from our community to do the things that we need to do to make sure our students are ready for whatever the next step is in their journeys after they leave Big Spring. So that has been our fault of the network. And my predecessor was Dr. Richard Fry, an outstanding leader who I have to benefit from. He was a member of the network of the Schlesky Center, and was able to introduce me to Steve and the team there as we were transitioning roles for me into the superintendent. And I've been a member of the network now for 2 years and a half, and I have truly enjoyed being able to interface with leaders like Henry, like Kevin from Fife, like Steve with the Schlesky Center, to hear about challenges that they're facing, solutions that they're developing, and it's really helped me to become a better leader within our district. And, you know, a significant portion of the focus of the network is on the learning activities that students participate in school and making sure that they're truly engaged. Like Henry was talking about, you know, making sure that schools are not being told they have to do things, but we're asking them, what do you want to learn? What are your goals? How can I help you get there? Is absolutely critical for us to be able to do those things and ask those questions. And, you know, as I look out at the Standard Bearer Network and in my early conversations with Steve around the potential deliverables for the Standard Bearer Network for our district, I only see great things on the horizon in the way of networking, understanding the capacity of our system, and then also building that capacity to make sure we're doing great things for students.
I think it's great. And by the way, we're fading in and out a little bit. Are you moving around or on your cell phone, Kev?
No, I can get a little bit closer to the phone.
Okay, you were fading in and out a little bit, and I heard everything you said, but it kept going up and down. Okay, and I just wanted to make sure we had a clear connection for you, okay, because you got a lot to say. You know, it's an interesting thing about rural education these days, and we got to get these kids on the right track and have them understand there is a bigger world out there. I live in a rural area in Maine, okay? I moved here, okay, to a more rural area in Maine from bigger cities, I might add. Okay, and it's tough to get the kids to understand, but there's an interesting thing going on in education, all right, in my opinion, all right, that with the world changing, and one of the good things that came out of this lousy pandemic, okay, is that kids can stay home and get big-time jobs because everybody can be remote these days, all right?
Right.
And so it's really important that kids, that rural kids understand how important a good post-high school education is, whatever they want to do with that. Okay, because they can stay there, okay, where they are. And I just think it's really important. What would you say is the biggest challenge you have in a rural district these days? Kevin.
Sure. I think it's, you know, rural or, you know, I actually think there are more similarities between rural and urban school districts than rural and suburban or suburban and urban.
I would agree.
You know, from a rural school district standpoint, a lot of times their world or their aspirations are based upon what they see within their community only.
Yeah.
And you know, continuing down the pathway of jobs that maybe parents or grandparents have had isn't a bad thing at all. But we want our students to understand that when you grab your diploma, when you earn your diploma and walk across that stage at graduation, you can do anything you want to do. Anything at all, whether that's continuing to run the family business or that's going
that's
on
right.
to do great things in any part of the world, you will absolutely have the tools, skills, and abilities to do so.
Right, and that is key, and they can do that from where they are. It's really important, and I'll just ask the same question about, because this is really on my mind these days. I've talked to Steve about this and George over there a lot about this, is teacher retention and teacher recruitment. How are we doing at that in Big Spring? Big Spring.
Is it similar to what?
Big Springs. Wait a minute. It's a singular. Big Spring, right?
That
Spring.
Is a fantastic point of clarification. Those are fighting words around this part of the country. It is singular. It is.
Yeah,
there's
Big
one
Spring
that the community is very proud of.
Okay.
Absolutely. So similar to everywhere else, like Henry was saying, we are challenged. The number of teaching certificates that have been you know, earned or received within our state is similar to other areas. We're seeing a similar trend moving from, you know, about 3 years ago, 20,000 down to 6,000 across the Commonwealth this year. So the number of candidates coming into the field have declined significantly. And it's challenging for us in that our ultimate goal, it's difficult in a relatively homogeneous school district in terms of race and ethnicity to create diverse experiences. And one way to do that is through the teacher pipeline or staff pipeline. So we're working hard to do that by getting out of our zip code, getting into other areas for recruiting and also the hiring of staff. But then also you hit a key point of retention. A key practice that we've put into place here has been the re-interviewing of our staff so that if we have staff members that are doing a great job, you know, how can we re-interview them to ask about barriers that are in their way to doing great things to make sure that they're happy with where they work and are able to do the things that come back to their why.
right? That is a great idea. So I've talked to a lot of superintendents. That's a wonderful idea. Nobody's posted that idea to me yet of just re-interviewing and asking what exactly is on their minds right now. It's key. Okay,
sure.
And we'll be corrected. That, Kevin, thank you. That's a great idea. Henry, I want you to comment or in Kevin's comment that rural and urban schools, and, you know, he was saying the kids are limited in what they see. They just see everything around them and aren't familiar with things outside of the area. You could say the same thing, okay, in a heavily urban district. What's your thoughts on that, about the similarities between urban and rural? Henry.
Absolutely. And East Cleveland is technically a suburb. We are the first suburb of Cleveland, Northeast Ohio. We also have our middle school in the background of John D. Rockefeller's old estate.
Cool.
So we have a rich history.
Wow.
But
well,
yes,
literally
we find
figuratively.
But we find ourselves having very similar situations with rural schools. Number one, we found during the pandemic, the fiber, the internet connectivity. We have a fiber desert, even though we're 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Oh my God.
We are the least connected city in the state of Ohio.
Unbelievable.
So
unbelievable.
I had to put antennas on top of buildings and give free internet to everybody that asks just so they can be competitive. When you talk about students being able to have opportunities and be able to see, if you don't have internet at home,
That's right.
You don't have access to the world web, you really are limited. We also have a food desert, which is another challenge, and those are challenges in rural areas too. We don't have a grocery store in East Cleveland. So to get fresh fruit, to get the food that you normally would probably buy yourself, you got to go outside of the city. So students see just a lot of decay. They see a lot of discouragement, a lot of abandoned houses as they go from their home to the school. But in rural communities, it's the same thing where there's limited resources, there's limited opportunities. And then with that fiber, it was huge during the pandemic to see how the students really fell further behind than their suburban or urban counterparts because limited internet access.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the fact that the state wanted to take over the district and didn't immediately make sure that everybody was connected, that there was plenty of broadband, is a disgrace. Okay, right then and there. That's what they needed to do, all right, and get these kids to understand as a world. It's like the TVA did in the rural South. They brought electricity to people, okay, and they were no longer cut off. Okay, from the world, and the fact that's astounding, and that's a big challenge. And I got to ask, keep making that change. And Kevin, what's going on with broadband over in Big Spring? How that
great question.
Out
Henry hit the nail on the head. Those were the two biggest areas that, as soon as we had to close our doors to face-to-face instruction, the first concern by the community was how will we get our students fed, and then the second concern quickly following behind that was how do we ensure some continuity of education through an online platform where, you know, there are in our span of the school district, we have areas in our school district where even, you know, it's not a matter of economics as much as it is a matter of just the reach of the broadband, that even folks who may be from affluent households can't get internet. It's just not possible because it's so rural that there's no service there. So we – similar challenges to what Henry was talking about is if they had the ability in terms of connectivity to have internet access, we'd work to provide that to them. But if they didn't have the ability to have that access, we had to come up with alternate solutions, including our buses dropping off physical hard copies of assignments and, you know, doing that every day, a pickup and a drop-off of those households on the far reaches of our urban rural communities.
It's unbelievable and untenable. Okay, and I just saw a plan. I can't remember where I saw it. Pennsylvania State Legislature to improve teacher retention. Okay, which was, by the way, consisted of every cliche in the book. If I do say so myself here from the great state of Maine, we want to get more people involved in teaching. Yeah, hello, that's great. I can say that too. I want to build a time machine. Here's the screwdriver. Okay, we can't have that anymore. Every kid. This is an equity question. You can't cut the world off from kids, from teachers, okay? This is what it's about. People use the word educational technology. We never said the words educational chalk, Okay. Well, we supply chalk to every school, and we have to supply technology to every school and every kid, because that's the way of the world these days. Okay. And that's, and if you do that, you give teachers the tools to make them feel good that the kids learn. And before you know it, you've lowered that teacher retention challenge. And I got to ask Steve, let me bring you back. Dr. McCammon, you hear all this. Okay. What do you want to come out of this? You're dealing with a plethora of different districts, but yet the challenges are very much the same, certainly urban, rural in this case. Well, Steve, what do you want to come out of this with your National Standard Bearers Network?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak to that, because our picture of success would be that if you met every one of these superintendents, Larry, you'd be equally impressed as our two gifted leaders here. What the Schlechte Center does is we don't tell anybody how to do a single thing. We have good standards, and we ask good questions and help people reflect on their role in leading an organization forward. What we hope is that these districts are put in a, when I say protected, I don't mean from the negative, are put in a protected space together where they can really dream about doing some really incredible things together and create a common language, so that when Kevin's teachers get together with Henry's teachers, get together with Kevin Alfano's teachers at a national conference, they can say, there are no walls here to keep us from doing the best thing for kids and to engaging kids. So the principals, our picture of success would be that we have principals having common conversations about what it means to be a leader of leaders as a principal. Mm-hmm. So we naturally expect to see these districts really take their work deep. Henry, I'll give you an example. Henry, we announced this new network. Henry's already a member of our Northeast Ohio Innovative School District Network. He has been for several years. When I announced at our National Superintendent Network meeting that we were looking at doing this network, Henry said, hey, Steve, is it possible to be in both networks? I said, well, sure, but he said, here's why. And Henry, you can clear up if I lie here. But I said, you know, I really want, we're learning so much in our local network. I really want myself and our leaders to be able to continue to grow and learn with like minds. In education, Larry, you probably know this over your many years of covering education. Sometimes when you focus on something and go really deep, people are like, oh, my goodness, why are you still working on that? Because in education, it's usually superintendents there for 3 or 4 years. They leave, a new focus comes in. And so we're always chasing that next big program or that next big thing. This work is simply about focusing on the right things and taking it really deep. And, you know, when I first met Phil Schlechte, Larry, I heard him say, to paraphrase, he said, you know, school has become a place where kids come to watch adults work. The teacher goes home exhausted, and the kid's like, hey, just sit and listen to my teacher all day. I'm not suggesting that happens all the time, nor that it happens the majority of the time. What I'm suggesting is, how powerful is it going to be, if you boiled it down to our picture of success, how powerful would it be if at the end of the year of this first network, you've got people, and we are going to come back on to a later program with these two
gentlemen. Yes, we are.
And give you an update on what's going on. What I hope they say is there's been a revival in their districts where teachers and principals are saying, okay, I get it. We're coming together as a network with a common language so that we can break down barriers to do the best thing for kids and learn from our colleagues. The Schlechte Center is not the white horse that rides in to save the day. The Schlechte Center convenes and collaboration among really gifted educators to focus on what we think are the right things. Our success in year one will be that there's a common language and focus, and that these superintendents and principals and teachers and board members are saying, we think we've really settled on the right thing here for kids.
That's what it's all about, settling on the right thing for kids and making it all come together. Gentlemen, I wish you all the very best of luck, and you're all going to come, well, obviously Steve's going to come back on, but Henry and Kevin, you guys are both going to come back on later. We're going to set that date, okay, and get you guys on and hear how wonderful things are as this all progresses, okay? I think it's just great. So thank you, Henry. Continued good fortune out
thank
there.
You.
Keep the hard work.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay.
Thank
yes,
you Larry, so much.
You're welcome. Kevin from Westchester to Shippensburg. Okay, close enough. enough.
Yes, sir. Thank you for letting us come on. I appreciate it.
And it won't happen again. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're always welcome here, Kevin, even though you're close to
Thank
Kevin.
You.
Okay, no problem. Okay, all right. Steve, we got more to do on all this, and we're going to follow this really, really closely. All right? Thank
Fantastic.
You, guys. I appreciate it. Okay, all of you,
Thanks,
have a good day. Enjoy this summer.
Bye now.
Keep
Thank
up
you.
Good work.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, wow, three great guys. What more can they say? SelectiveCenter.org. If you want to get involved with this, just go over to SelectiveCenter.org or give them a call. Okay, easy enough to do, and they'll help you along. Steve McCammon is the CEO and president over there. All right, we'll archive at ace-ed.org. That is where everything we do is, including our magazine, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12. Just click on the club cover of the online journal. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.